Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. It's good to be here this evening and welcome those of us online and those of us here. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Living by Faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confide. Sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. Earth some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, travel through this pilgrim land. There is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, lift our Lord each day to help me do the best I can. Every day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I Am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? Or pick of her? Pick of that, pick of this. 581. All righty. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus on 581. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, so 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any other pick of hymns this evening? You got one tune that God put on your heart? Something Beautiful? 507? Oh, yeah, that's a short one. Something Beautiful, that's short. Yeah, there you go. 507, Something Beautiful. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that it? All right.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. Amen. Hope the week's going well for you. Hope your air conditioning's holding good.
My air conditioning ain't even working.
Huh?
Not even working.
Your air conditioning's not working?
No.
Oh, my soul. We need to come lay hands on it, anoint that thing with oil.
Dude, you got the fire. You come on over.
What's going on with it, man?
Fan motor, man.
It's a brand new unit, isn't it?
Blew the cap,
not the motor, just the cap.
It's the motor, not just on
fan motor in the attic one day.
Yeah, but you got a cap up there.
What is that?
It freezes the coil because there's no air going through it.
Right.
So it freezes it up.
Have y'all checked the cap? There should be a small cap.
Well, man's been out there.
He didn't find the cap.
He didn't have a backup motor instructor.
A lot of times. A lot of times, is it under
yeah,
warranty?
It's warranty?
Okay, well if it's under warranty and they're covering it and the cap's bad, he'll change the cap. But if it's a homeowner insurance program, they'll normally change the motor to build the. See what I'm saying? They work at angle. when the motor's fine, it's just a cap. They'll put a new cap in with a new motor. Oh, the motor was bad. You know what I'm saying? Right. All right. That's just. We'll move on. Pray for your AC.
Another day, man.
All right, praises. We got any?
Got one right here.
Yeah, Brother Ronnie.
Yeah, I talked to Sandra Capps today. She's seen the doctor, a follow-up and everything, all the tests, blood work, everything came out good. So
okay.
Amen.
Sandra Capps, blood work turned out good.
I'd just like to praise the Lord that yesterday we were at that HEB that had that shooter in it. We had pulled up to, well, when we pulled up, we saw a bunch of police. It was me and my grandsons, and they were flooding it. But I pulled in to get my order, and thank God I wasn't in the store. But as soon as we found out what was going on, we were out of there.
You said I get that order later.
As soon as, because they weren't saying nothing, but everybody was coming out of the store. And I'm like, well, something's going on. Anyway, so thank God. And the man ended up turning himself in Tomball.
Right.
It was at the HEB in the Vintage at Louetta and 249. Apparently, he got mad at somebody in there. There was a confrontation, two customers. And then the guy pulled out the gun to start shooting.
Wow.
But didn't. No, I got killed. I don't think the other guy even got hit. But
yeah.
Then he turned himself in.
That's good.
Yeah. But it was wild out there. But, thankfully, nobody, I was
right,
out there.
Right. That's a nice area. That's really kind of different for something like that to happen. But, wow.
Yeah.
Crime is everywhere. It doesn't matter what the socioeconomic background is, man. People are just evil and in sin need help. We're going to talk about that, because something moved that brother to wrath, anger. Something got him. Something bit him to pull that firearm out and start letting him fly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the heat.
Maybe it's the heat. I'm telling you, the heat will make you mean. I've lived it. 1980. I keep telling people about 1980. They want to, well, you quit talking about 1980. 1980 was awful. Awful. Praise the Lord, it's over. What else? Other praises?
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the Jewish school shooting.
Yeah.
Got diverted.
He got diverted. So.
Sure, he couldn't get in the building.
Oh, yeah, they had that.
Jewish
all that kind of stuff.
Former student to the Jewish school was not able to enter the building.
So I'll let you know all that safety stuff, and glass and stuff.
They had a good safety plan.
Amen.
Thwarted the gunman. Isn't that some good news?
Yes.
I mean, that's some good news.
That is.
I mean, it's some sad news. Somebody wants to go shoot up a Jewish school. But some good news, he couldn't get in to do it.
That's right.
And then they apprehended him, right? Yeah.
Amen.
That's some good news. Yeah. Bad move. Yeah. Bad move. I really liked how the police captain or chief or whoever it was, how he explained that. He said the perpetrator came out of his vehicle with his firearm. One of our officers discharged his duty weapon. and the suspect was hit. All right, very good. What else, what else? Any other praises? You got something back there? What you got?
Lori said, praise the Lord, that she found a clinic to kind of help her out.
All right. So this is Lori?
Yes.
Found a clinic to help her out, okay.
Allergies and stuff.
All right. All right, amen. What else?
Pray for all.
No, we're praises. Any more praises? Any more praises?
Y'all go. Let's get it.
All right. All right, let me cover our prayer requests. We got Heiberger's legs on the prayer request tonight. Heiberger's legs. No? We're going to pray for Heiberger's legs? All right. And Kinsey. Got Kinsey down. Misty Tosh, we're still praying for her recovery from a fall. Please pray for my mother. She was discharged from the hospital. She's under going to be under home health care and just sounded really, really weak. So please continue to pray for her. I'm going to try to go see her for sure, on the 7th. We'll see how it goes, but that's the game plan. Ronnie Holman, recovering from cancer, we're asking he be cancer-free or be healed from cancer. Ronnie Vaculik, we're praying for his health. Stephanie's Lee, her position coming to an end in November. Please pray that other employment would line out and line up. Those of you with unspokens, okay. Those with addictions, we've got Kevin. We've got Steve. We've got his son Stevie, right?
Right.
We got Paul. We got Jacob. We got Kinsey. Kinsey's restoration of her family, right? Good, good, okay. Rolling around here. What else? What else? We got, what else? Fred and Ann. Thank you. That's a new one. All right. Fred and Ann. Okay. Fred. Hospital.
What is a TIA?
Light stroke. Any update on Marilyn Davlin's daughter-in-law, Emma?
No.
Says here from Marilyn Davlin. She said, "I was trying to go see her today to check in to check on her." Oh, the phone! The phone! When it works, it's great. When it doesn't, it's something. Huh? All right. Let's see here. She didn't have any insurance since she and, okay, may have picked her up. She may be in Austin, all right? She's septic. Don't know whether she's septic or not. Don't know if she's going to make it or not. Very weak. They removed 2 feet of her intestines and part of her stomach after the appendix ruptured. So that's what they try to keep from happening is that thing rupturing. So once it ruptures, it's a totally different deal. Marilyn says, I was trying to go see her today to check on her but couldn't find her. So we want to continue to pray for Marilyn Davlin's daughter-in-law, Emma, tonight as we get that update. Christina, what's the word on Christina? Anything? Yeah. Right. Okay. And we're still going to lift up Robert and Colin for salvation. Okay, Baker kids, return and repent. How do you pull his leg muscle? Okay. Wow. All right. Okay, Ryan, we're going to pray for you, man.
Actually, we're going out of town
Okay. Sargent, Texas. Where was that at? Matagorda. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good fishing up there, or down there, over there. Who's this now? Who's got a beach house? They'll tell Taylor, me and him, new best friends. All right, Loopy and son, mini vacay. Yeah, I love me some Sargent fishing. It's been a few years since I've been down there. I got a red, I thought it was red. It was either a red or a stingray. I could never turn it. It straightened out my hook. Yeah. Yeah. All right, mini vacay. We'll pray for safety. All right, Frank, any update on Joshua? I'm sorry, brother.
That's okay.
Sorry, brother.
Can y'all hear me now?
We can hear you now, man.
No real new news. From what we have discerned, strangely enough, the authorities have not shared with the family all that the family believes that the authorities know. And I don't really know what that means. But the children, which would be Joshua's siblings, have been mighty quiet. Their mother, Sandra, has been mighty quiet about the situation. Mm-hmm. So we're listening to see what's coming out of
okay.
it. We don't know. All we know is that the report is that he drove his car to a garage outside a restaurant, parked it, and later on, the people in the restaurant went out figuring out what the car is doing there, and they looked, and he was passed away in the front seat in the car. There was talk about a firearm being in the car with him, but I think that has gone away. I don't know that it has, but to answer your question, I don't have a whole lot of detail because nobody's passing around a whole lot.
Okay, okay. We'll continue.
Our prayers should be for the family.
Yes,
I know they're
family.
Devastated. I know them well. From 40 years ago, and that's a real tough thing that they're going to deal with.
That's a tough deal, yeah,
especially
absolutely.
Sandra and Joshua.
Amen. So. Amen. All right. Any other prayer needs? Okay, back there.
I have a appointment to meet with my neurosurgeon next week. I'm hoping that I can have the surgery on my mom's fall break. So she can be there for that week. So I'm just hoping the surgery goes well.
All right. So this is surgery coming up when now, Tiffany?
In October.
Okay. Surgery coming up?
Hopefully in October.
In October. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And you're for sure going to have it? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll be praying for you and praying your mom can be there. All right. What else? Yes, sir.
Okay. Speaking of people with cancer, I had a friend of mine that just passed away yesterday from cancer. His name was John Adams. He went to Magnolia First for over 30 years.
Wow.
And so he was saved. But people with cancer, we just want to reach out and make sure that they find a cure for this dreadful disease. Because it is affecting a lot of people here lately.
Amen.
And wish that, you know, that big pharmaceuticals like Vanguard and, what is it, BlackRock or something like that, that they have cures for a lot of these diseases. They just don't want to let out all the information yet because they'll lose a lot of money, big money, big pharmaceutical. So,
and what's the friend's family we're praying for?
John Adams.
John Adams.
They're at service tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Magnolia First.
Okay.
It's he was a coach. He was a coach at some high school here. They used to call him Coach Adams or something.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Thank you, brother, for running the mic around. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day and this time that we have to intercede on behalf of others. As we get going here, Lord, we just praise you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for that mercy, and Lord, thank you for our salvation. We praise you for all the love you bestow upon us and just your acceptance, your forgiveness, and Lord, how we can come back to you again and again. And Lord, you continually extend that grace to us and restore us and refresh us and sit us back on that narrow path, Lord, whenever we get on that wide road that leads to destruction. So thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, how you provide for us. We're thankful for this air conditioning here this evening. We pray a special prayer for James and Kathy's situation, that they can get their air back on quickly. And Lord, you would give them the patience and the stamina to withstand not having any air right now in a house that's designed to have air in it and running during temperatures like this. So, Lord, we just pray you make a way for them and help them. And, Lord, we just pray that that air get back on quick. We do praise you that Sandra Capps, her blood work came back not showing any kind of problems or issues. We're thankful for that. Lord, we give you the praise that Loopy missed barely what could have been just a horrific situation with the shooting down there in the Vintage. Lord, we give you praise that this Jewish school shooter was unable to get inside that school and harm any children or teachers or educators. So, Lord, we're thankful and we give you praise that he was apprehended. Lord, we lift up Lori's praise that she's found a clinic to help her with some medical issues that she's going through. So, Lord, we just give those praises up to you. We know that you answer prayer. We know that you bless us, and we know that you're for us and not against us. So, Lord, we're just so thankful tonight that we have things that we can lift up and praise to you. As we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Fred in the hospital. Lord, we pray that he get to go home quick, and Lord, we pray that you just protect him from having any more strokes, mini strokes, any kind of stroke. Lord, we just pray that you would get him situated and medication balanced out, that wouldn't be an issue. Be with Ann as she seeks to care for her husband, and Lord, we just pray for their protection as they travel back and forth from these doctors and hospitals and different things that they have to do. We lift up Marilyn Davlin's daughter-in-law to you, Emma, and Lord, we pray that you might spare her life and that she would not go sepsis, and Lord, the infection, I'm sure they're just giving her all kinds of antibiotics right now, and we just pray that those would do what they're designed to do and just save her life, just spare her from any further suffering, any further surgeries. And Lord, we pray you might get her through this ruptured appendix. Lord, we just lift that up to you. We lift up Christina to you, and we lift her up. We pray that insurance would come through and that this appointment would go through tomorrow, and she'd be able to get some direction, some wisdom, some relief, some medication, Lord, whatever needs be to get her back on a path to healing and help. We just pray that these issues that she's got would be taken care of quickly here in the next few days and next week. Lord, we continue to pray for Robert and Colin for their salvation. We pray that you bring conviction to their heart that they need to receive Christ and receive the gospel, Lord, turn from their own way of living, and Lord, just allow you to become Savior and Lord for them. So, Lord, we continue to pray for Robert and Colin for their salvation. Continue to pray for Loopy's kids that need to return and repent, Lord. We just put that up to you. And, Lord, pray you just work in their hearts and work in their lives. And, Lord, just slowly draw them back, but draw them back to your side and draw them back to the church. So, Lord, we're lifting that up to you. We're lifting up Traveling Mercies for Loopy and Taylor as they get ready to take this mini vacation down to Sargent. Watch over them on the road. Lord, we pray it'd be a good time of fellowship, good time of fishing. And, Lord, bring them back safely. We lift up Ryan to you tonight as he's watching online. And, Lord, we pray for that pulled leg muscle. We pray that a good night's rest and maybe some ibuprofen or muscle relaxer, Lord, would help that thing lighten up. And he'd be able to maybe stretch it a little bit and get going tomorrow. But, Lord, we lift him up. Pray you help him with that regard. Lift up this Martin family with this deceased son found up in Kansas City, Missouri area. Lord, we don't know all the details, but we know that family needs your comfort. They need your help. Lord, they need that peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and they're going through all kinds of emotions right now, trying to figure out what's going on and the details. And so, Lord, we just pray you help them connect all the dots and get closure and begin to work through that grief process as they are probably still in shock of it all right now. We lift up Tiffany and Lord, this upcoming surgery that she's got going on. And, Lord, we just pray that you be with her and allow her mom to be there in October for that, God. And we just we pray you work out all those details. And, Lord, Gene's friend, we're praying for the Adams family, his passing, Lord, from cancer. Lord, we pray that there might be more breakthroughs, that there might be more ways to defeat cancer that would come sooner than later. Lord, we pray that you might put these things together and help these folks that are just so struggling and suffering with different kinds and forms and of cancers and in different places in the body, Lord. We know you're the great physician. Lord, we know you can do it. And so, Lord, we're just praying that this stuff, this technology, all these things they've been talking about, Lord, more of it would come out and be available at a reasonable price that people can have it done and not be ruined financially, Lord. So we lift that up to you tonight. Lord, we continue to pray for Justin and his shin splints. We pray you might bring healing to that part of his body. And Lord, just help him adjust to his new body size. He's put on some weight. And Lord, we just pray his body would just adjust to that and be able to carry that weight, be able to run with it and all those things. Misty Tosh, we don't know an update on her, but we do pray that you'd give her recovery from her fall. Lord, I do pray for my mom tonight and ask that the church would pray for her as she's recovering from this heart cath lab and, Lord, going to be under home health. And we just pray you'd bring healing to her body and give her strength back and, Lord, help her up with her pain management and everything that she's struggling with. Lord, we lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We in another cancer patient, we pray you might deliver him and just set him free and remove that cancer from his body, Lord, somehow, some way, a miraculous healing or a healing through medical technology or pharmaceuticals, whatever it may be. We just pray for Ronnie's healing. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight. We pray for his health, Lord, and we just pray that you give him good rest tonight, help him with all the issues with his ears and, Lord, with his feet and Lord, with his pancreas, all these different things he's got going on. We just pray you touch him, give him rest, give him some healing there, Lord. Watch over him. We pray for Stephanie tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for the job that she's had these last several months and give you praise and glory for the insurance that's provided. But, Lord, it's coming to an end now. And we pray that she might be able to find another position within the company. Or, Lord, you may have another door that she needs to open and walk through, whatever it be. We pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment. We just pray for your perfect will for her life and for our family's life, Lord. We think about all these unspokens as these hands shot up all over the room. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can voice those unspokens to you tonight. We're thankful that you hear us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your care and your concern, your compassion to us as we carry these burdens. Lord, we seek to be unburdened tonight as we lay them down at your feet. And, Lord, we know you're working. Help us believe. Lord, help us with our unbelief sometimes, Lord, when it comes to these unspokens and how you're sovereign and how you're in control. Sometimes we just get a little defeated with it, defeated carrying it around, defeated trying to think about it. And so, Lord, just help us sometimes with our unbelief. We do believe, but help us with our unbelief sometimes, Lord. So we just lay these unspokens down at your feet. And then, Lord, those with addictions, we lift them up to you tonight. Kevin, we're praying for him by name. Steve and Stevie, Lord, father and son. Paul, Jacob, Kinsey, Lord, we're just praying for all these struggling with addictions. And we just pray you might set them free from that bondage, help them get off of that and get on down the road with discipleship. Help them find a good a support group, Lord, whatever that looks like. We just pray that Christ be in the middle of it. Give them a good sponsor that's a believer. And, Lord, somebody to hold them accountable, hold their feet to the fire, so to speak. And then, Lord, we're just praying for Kenzie. We're praying for the restoration of her family. And, Lord, pray that you might do a work with her and in her. We're thankful for her presence here, coming to church. And so, Lord, we pray that the Word of God would bear much fruit in her heart and in her life. We're thankful for your Word tonight, Lord, as we get back into it. And we just pray that you give us wisdom and discernment as we talk about difficult things going on in our culture. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, if you'll turn with me to Leviticus, we're going to seek to finish this part of our series of messages on the book of Leviticus, this passage that we've been working through, Leviticus 18, verses 6 through 30, and we'll just read, we won't read all that, we've read it, but we'll read some of it. As we kind of set the context. So if you're with us online or you're with us in the sanctuary tonight, we're in Leviticus chapter 18. And we'll pick it up here about verse 24. And it's the judgment section, really, of all this. And it says, do not defile yourselves. Leviticus 18, 24. Did you find it? Amen, some of you? It says, do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I'm casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, mentioned in the previous verses, of course. And the land has become defiled, so that the land will not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nations which has been before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. There he's putting his stamp of sovereignty and control and his right to set his boundaries on sexual relations. So, remember, we've got three boundaries going on here. The first one is the inner boundary, and that talks about, you know, we shouldn't have sexual relations with certain close relatives. And then we got to the middle boundary, and that was dealing with where sex should remain, and that's in the confines of what? Marriage between a... Yeah, husband and wife, there you go. And then that third boundary, we talked about the outer boundary, and that's where sex has really kind of gone awry, physical relations, and just kind of gets all weird and construed, right? And so as we were dealing with this the last time we were Bible studying through it, we said this, kind of as a review. We said as the middle boundary, right? The middle boundary, that's that sex relation between husband and wife. As the middle boundary crumbled, right? We spoke of how grandfathers and fathers and uncles and brothers and how they sexually molested other family members. And we talked about the effects of which probably affects most people you know. I mean, if people were really honest, if you really got down into the nitty-gritty of family history. In other words, I made this bold statement. I said you would find less families that have experienced no molestation and incest within their family than you would on the other side of that equation. However, we said, putting a stop to this, very difficult. Very difficult. We said, once sex is set autonomous, what's that word autonomy mean? Autonomous means self-governed. Once we take God out of the equation and we say, we're going to govern our bodies and how we use them, when, where, and how, and with who, once it's self-governed, the wheels begin to fall off, and it's hard to stop the wheel once the wheel starts rolling down the hill. Amen? So, we were talking about what is the first stage of the outer boundary falling, right? And so the middle boundary, once the middle boundary falls, the other two boundaries start to fall away. Once that middle boundary is that primary relationship, God created man, he created woman, he gave them to each other. They had to produce godly offspring. They do that by sexual relations. We all know that, right? Birds and the bees, all right? 101, biology, yada, yada, yada. We all know that. But once that has been hijacked out of that marriage, then these other two boundaries we talked about begin to crumble. And so what is the first stage of that outer boundary falling? And we talked about it was the killing of unwanted children. We looked at 1821. It says, "You shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And I kind of took you through how that process of offering those little infants was on the altar of Molech. And I left out an important detail. I was visiting with Peggy Murray last week, and she watches our services online. Hi, Miss Peggy. And we were having a very good visit, and she goes, "That was something." You know, she was talking about how I was talking about offering to Molech, but she goes, "You left out an important detail." And I go, "Did I?" And she said, "Yes, you did." She said, "What you failed to mention is that when the priest was getting ready to offer the infant for sacrifice on that bull-shaped altar where the fire is underneath, you know, and there's like this platform, you know, it's like an upright bull, and he's looking down over this altar, and the priest would lay that thing, and they got that stove underneath there. It's just glowing red, right? I mean, they've been stoking that fire. She said, "What you failed to mention was that nobody could hear the baby scream." And I go, "That's right. I didn't mention that. Why couldn't they hear the baby scream? They would have a drum line all around that altar. And they're beating those drums and beating those drums and beating those drums. And so all you heard were the drums. You didn't hear the cries of the baby." Kind of sadistic, isn't it? I said, "Well, Miss Peggy, I'll get that detail in next time we cover it." So I did, Miss Peggy. I'm caught up. Amen? So she's keeping me. Miss Peggy knows her Bible. She's keeping me on my toes. Amen? So that's we talked about this. We said in the middle of Leviticus is a verse that is seemingly out of place. We said, what could this possibly have to do in the context of unlawful sexual unions? And I made this comment. I made this observation. I said, I think this is the first phase of the destruction of the outer boundary of godly sexuality. In other words, children are no longer safe when sex becomes autonomous. When the middle boundary falls and Pandora's box is open sexually, children, there's a level of safety that they lose. We talked about how for me and other Bible believers, and hopefully you, that we do not believe there's much difference between the offering children to Molech and the offering them up to abortion, right? It's pretty much the same, right? You get that? Yeah. And then we asked the question, what is the second stage of the outer boundary falling? And we said, well, that's homosexuality. We looked at verse 22. It says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." We said, as the outer boundary began to crumble with the destruction of children, as sex became, again, autonomous or self-governed, sexual experience between members of the same sex was an unavoidable next step. Which begs the question, why? Why is that a next step? Why is it unavoidable? And again, it goes back to who's the boss of how we handle sexual relations. Is it me or is it God? So if your sexual goal is not to bring godly offspring into the world, if your sexual goal is pleasure independent of marriage and your sexual freedom comes from denying its wrongness, there's no foundation left to judge an alternate practice. That's how they get there, man. We talked about this. We asked this question. What is the third stage of the outer boundary falling? And maybe we didn't get here. Maybe this is new for us tonight. What is the third? What is the third? The third stage of the outer boundary falling is this thing called bestiality. Now, I'm not going into detail of that, but you just look at the verse here in verse 23. "Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion." Now, would you believe this verse marks the current line in our culture today. Now, we're not there yet in a widespread way. I mean, it's not prevalent everywhere, although bestiality does occur frequently in the pornographic industry. Some would argue that our nation has accepted homosexuality, whereas our nation is still divided on the issue of abortion. Praise the Lord. There's still quite a bit of people that are against it, right? I propose, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I propose that if and when our country accepts abortion as a true majority one day, and now the left, the liberal, boy, they're what? They're trying to get Roe v. Wade back into, they're trying to figure out how they can get abortion through the legislature of the House and the Senate and have some president sign a law like that, right? I propose that even when our country accepts abortion as a true majority, one day, then that bestiality will be next, right? It'll be next. Again, it's a domino effect, right? So that brings us to God's coming judgment. That's the passage we read here this evening, verses 24 through 30, 24 through 29. The truth, as we look at that, should be sobering to a lust-filled society. When you understand this passage, this is not Israel violating its covenant with God. This is God looking at Gentile Canaan, seeing how Gentile Canaan has defiled the land, and casting Gentile Canaan, what? Out of the land, right? This passage then could be called a universal principle, not a covenant principle. In other words, God judges all nations alike. If we think about what's going on in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15, verses 23 through 29. Acts 15, 23 through 29 contains the text of the letter from the church in Jerusalem to Gentile believers, accepting them into the church without binding them to Jewish law. And Acts 15, 29 says that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. And then it says farewell. If we think about that verse, that's the New American Standard Version. If we think about the verse in the NIV, it may be a little bit clearer to you. It says, you are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well if you avoid these things. And then the NIV says, farewell. But once sex is made to be self-governed instead of God-governed, the rest of the dominoes kind of fall in sequence, and all kinds of wickedness can be expected to break out. And so, as we've covered all this, and we're trying to get to the end of it, the conclusion of it, what is the Christian and the church's response? Because we ought to have one, amen? The Christian and the church ought to have a response. The spread of adultery and the spread of premarital and casual sex and abortion and homosexuality is the result of our nation turning from the Lord. It doesn't take a great theological mind to figure that out. Just lick your finger and hold it up in the air. That's what's going on. He has given us a nation over to the sinful desires of our hearts. And for us as believers in this culture, there's a real struggle for us as individuals and as a church to remain pure in a society as the problems in the Corinthian church demonstrate. I mean, when it's all around you, it kind of starts to creep in on you. So staying right and staying chaste and staying godly is difficult, but not impossible. All right? However, I do not know if we can turn our country around or not. I pray we can. But I know we can turn us around. We can turn us around. See, the good word is that there are many well-meaning folks who are working on many fronts to turn this nation back to God. Think about all the good folks that put the money and the prayer and the work and the blood, sweat, and tears to get Roe v. Wade overturned. Right? Amen? For example, take the abortion issue. The Supreme Court's reversal, Roe v. Wade, at the very least, that's been overturned. At the very least, we can say, praise the Lord, God's not through with America yet. Amen? So as individual Christians, our duty, our service, our responsibility is that we must examine our own attitudes towards sexuality. How closely do we associate sexual union with becoming one flesh? Right? If not, if we don't look at it that way, how can we change to view this sacred privilege in a more biblical way? And so the challenge we face is that we are confronted by spiritual warfare on three fronts in the area of sexuality. And this is where we got to kind of know the lay of the land and know the battle plan, right? First, we've got our own flesh to deal with, which is all too willing to have self-governed, autonomous sex that is released from association with marriage. Our sinful flesh is that kind of thing. When a hedonistic philosophy comes around, if we're not careful, if we begin to bend an ear to it, our flesh begins to leap up and say, yeah, go for that. Go for that. We've got to guard our hearts against that, right? We've got to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that hedonistic philosophy. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Second, there is Satan and his demonic, who through humanism and other philosophies promotes an intellectual system antagonistic to God's righteousness. Humanism tells us that autonomous sex, self-governed sex, is okay. It tells us that homosexual sex is okay. It tells us that killing our children in the womb of its mother is okay. This is none other than the work of Satan through humanist leaders in our country, friend. That's all that is. Third, there is the world, which is the alliance of Satan and corporate flesh, which either ignores or directly confronts the church to maintain society's perversions. If you are losing the battle, if you're losing, listen to me online. If you're losing the battle with your flesh, whether it craves heterosexual or homosexual experiences outside the three boundaries of godly sexuality, you can overcome this through living, are you ready for this? Living by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Right? Now, this section of Galatians contains much more for you to meditate upon and ponder. You are promised liberation from the flesh's desire, but you are promised that the Spirit will provide you with self-control, right? You're not promised to be delivered from the flesh's desire, but you are promised that the Spirit will provide you with the self-control that you need to defeat the desire. Make sense? I'm trying to get it right. Now, another key aspect of living by the Spirit is love for the brethren, the kind of love that considers all others more important than oneself, right? We got to love. Against Satan, we have the truth of the Scriptures and the gospel. Yes? If we are faithful and true to our message, we will be heard if we're faithful and true to it. The message must be presented. What message are you talking about? The message of the Scripture and the gospel. The message must be presented in whatever way we can present it. Usually for us, that means by using our social media voices, our social media accounts. That means using the World Wide Web. That means using the internet for good and not for evil, right? Don't use the internet for bullying. Don't use the internet for pulling somebody down. Use the internet, use your social media for furthering the gospel message that Jesus saves, right? Amen? So we must seek to raise, we're talking about our response in the midst of all this, we must seek to raise godly offspring for the, not for sheltering them or hiding them from the world, but unleashing them on the world. Amen? We bring them up, and then we turn them loose, right? Right? As we participate in the full spectrum of culture, we can push back on the hold that humanism and liberalism has on it. Now, we're talking about our response. Against the world, what do we need? Well, the church has got to be a washed church. The church has got to be a pure church. The church has got to be an obedient church. It will never be a perfect church this side of glory, but it can be pure, it can be obedient, it can be strong. Amen? A church can be that. So we must build strong families based on the principle, again, of one flesh, one flesh. We must learn to have strong marriages regardless of who the partners are or who they have become over the years. What do you mean by that? Well, people may have been compatible when they first got hitched, when they first got married up, but over the years, they change, don't they? Yeah, people change. But our need to obey the Lord does not change. Amen? So our requirement to learn to be compatible with anybody does not change, because this is what it fundamentally gets down to. If we love, we can learn to be compatible with a person. Remember the vow? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, right? In sickness and in health, right? And to love and to cherish. Till death, there you go. Now, what's going on that's not fair in the world? What's going on that's awful in the world? What's going on that just breaks your heart? It's the peer pressure that our kids are under. It's crushing. It's crushing. Peer pressure back in my day, if you could get the phone, there was only one line, right? If you could get it and unravel the cord to get it to your bedroom and close your door, yeah, you might experience some peer pressure, but not today. Not with this technology going on today. Kids can bully, and kids can pour on, and kids can be mean, and I mean it goes on 24/7, 365. I hear about the peer pressure our children are under, and so the debate is, and every family has to decide it. Is it wise for us to put our children in circumstances where we ourselves could not stand? Every family has to make their mind up. And that's why we have Christian schools, and that's why we have Christian education, right? But ultimately, taking a stand against the evil of this world, or making an attempt to purify our own selves, or being part of a washed blood by the word church, it will not happen without cost. Roe v. Wade was not overturned without cost. Doing the right thing morally will cost us time. Doing the right thing morally will cost money and inconvenience, and it will cost us effort and even some emotional pain at times, doing the right thing morally. But you show me a moral seeking the Lord bunch of individuals that have come together to form a God-fearing families, and these individuals that have formed God-fearing families attend a moral and seeking the Lord church, then I'll show you a people of God that will stand up before a perverted world. I'll show you that. Now, as I end this thing tonight, and I know I'm over time, but Pastor Lee wants to finish, so let me finish, please. Amen. I'm going to end this whole series on this kind of sex stuff, Leviticus 18. I'm going to end this whole series of Bible studies, not on the book of Leviticus, but just this section we've been covering. I'm going to end this whole series of Bible studies on this particular passage. I'm going to end it with grace. I'm going to end it with grace. What do you mean? Well, meaning that given the fact that the boundaries we talked about, right? That inner boundary and that middle boundary and that outer boundary. Friend, those boundaries, they have crumbled in our culture past tense. Past tense. In other words, a long time ago. You get it? So it is likely that these studies, watching online, perhaps sitting with me in here through the weeks, it is likely that some of these studies have deeply disturbed some people. Meaning that some of you may have past experiences before Christ. Maybe you had past experiences as a young, immature Christian. In other words, maybe you were the adulterer, or the fornicator, or the pornographer, or the pervert, or the homosexual, or the lesbian, or even the one who has had an abortion, or forced somebody to get one. Let me tell you something tonight as we end with grace. God can still use you. Amen? Once you repent, come to God, come back to God, get right with God, whatever you want to call it, once you make peace, once you submit, once you surrender, friend, God is in the business of turning our sinful lives around for His good pleasure and for His glory and for His honor. Remember, God's grace is greater than our sin. Amen? So, as we think about this tonight, look at the love with which Jesus favored the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember that. That was John 4. Look at how He dealt with a woman caught in adultery in John 8. Remember how He turned His back to the dinner host and his guest to affirm a prostitute who honored Him by anointing His feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Luke chapter 7. This is the point I'm trying to make. This is what the devil don't want you to get past. And that is letting your past be the past. Letting your past be the past. Receive His love and His words and go and sin no more. You cannot get the milk back in the jug. I guarantee you that cat ain't going back in the bag, right? The beans ain't going back in the can. But you can go forward with Jesus. And He knows, friend. He knows. He knows. He paid for it all on Calvary's cross. He knows. Receive His love and His words and go and sin no more. But also through Him and His grace and love, let your sense of shame fall away. Put that sin under the blood and let the shame fall away. Because as we talked about Sunday, the picture that Jesus has of you is not what you were, and it's not what you are, it's what you will be. That's the picture He has of you. So friend, by the blood of the Lamb, you've been cleansed. You are pure and you are clean. He's cleansed you. Amen? All right. Take these words out of here. Take this message far and wide and let God get the glory for it. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we've gone over a little bit, but we thank you that we could finish this section. And Lord, we pray that as we get ready to go forth into the next chapter and verses, that Lord, you would just continue to help us and focus and lead God and direct us and just help us get the truth and exactly what we need as an individual and as a congregation from it. We thank you for those that are with us online. And Lord, we pray that you bless them mightily. Lord, we thank you for their prayers. We thank you for their support. We thank you for all they do for us out there on the internet, Lord, watching us and encouraging us. So, Lord, we thank you for them. And, Lord, we pray for these that are here with us. We pray you give them safety. And, Lord, you give them boldness to stand and be counted for the truth's sake and for God's sake and for what's right's sake and for what's moral for its sake. And so, Lord, thank you for people that are trying, for people that want to be like Christ, for people that want to be better today than they were yesterday. So Lord, thank you for them. Help them. Encourage them up along the way. And Lord, help them just rest and soak and think about your amazing grace. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Yes. All right, let me give you these announcements. Thank you, Brother John. We do have some announcements that we need to cover. We have Tomball Night this Friday night, August the 4th, from 5 to 9 p.m. We have Men's Prayer Breakfast on August the 5th, starting at 7 a.m. Okay, so don't forget those two things. Thank you all for being here tonight. We'll see some of you out there on Friday night. Make sure you're hydrated. Make sure you're hydrated, and you may want to put some sunscreen on.